I'd like to invite you to Matthew chapter 15. We're going to continue in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. While you're turning there, I want to just share with you our title this morning, Empowered by Compassion. We're going to be looking at the Lord's compassion this morning. And before we read this passage, I want to reminds you of a very familiar verse in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. I'm going to read those for you. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. I'm so thankful for the Lord's compassion. You know, if it wasn't for that, the Bible tells us that we'd be consumed. And so as we get a glimpse this morning at the Lord's compassion, I really believe that it will empower us to have faith in Him in our time of need. Sometimes we get in a place of desperation, a place of great need, and sometimes we may doubt the Lord's compassion. But I believe this morning this passage will help us to have confidence in Him, that He has compassion. He feels our pain and He wants to be there with us and to help us. And not only that, but when we experience the Lord's compassion, it will empower us to show that compassion to others. So let's look in verse 21, Matthew 15. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, Thou Son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But He answered her not a word. And her disciples came and besought Him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But He answered and said, I have not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. But He answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat out of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto Him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and He healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called the disciples unto Him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And the disciples say unto Him, When should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus said unto them, How many loaves have ye? They said, 7, and a few little fishes. And He commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And He took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and brake them and gave to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. They took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men beside women and children. And He sent away the multitude and took ship and came into the coast of Magdala. Father, we're so grateful for this, for these three wonderful scenes and stories here that reveal the great compassion of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, I'm so grateful that He not only showed compassion on the Jews, on His own people, but He also had compassion for the Gentiles. Lord, I'm thankful that He loves us. I'm thankful, Lord, for Your Word. And I pray that as I preach Your living Word this morning, that each and every one here today would be filled with Your goodness and Your compassion. They'd be filled this morning. Lord, I don't want any one of us to leave here empty. I don't want any one of us to leave here discouraged or depressed. Lord, I want each and every one of us to leave here filled with Your love, with Your Spirit. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, what we have here is actually three stories that illustrate our Lord's compassion for the Gentiles. I want you to notice in the first story, the deliverance of this Canaanite woman, or her daughter, that is. The book of Matthew points out it was a woman of Canaan. She was a Canaanite. She was a Gentile. We'll talk about that in just a moment. And then the second story is about the healing of a great number of Gentiles with disabilities. And then the last story is about the feeding of 4,000 plus Gentiles. And I say Gentile because that is the key to understanding this passage of Scripture that we're going to point it out in just a moment. But this passage of Scripture is dealing with Gentiles. Jesus is in Gentile territory in each of these three stories. You know, a lot of people, when they read this feeding of the 4,000, they think, didn't we not just read about the feeding of the 5,000? Well, the feeding of the 5,000 in chapter 14 of Matthew, Jesus was in Jewish territory and He was feeding Jews. The difference in this feeding, the feeding of the 4,000, He was in Gentile territory feeding Gentiles. I find it very interesting that Jesus is illustrating to His disciples His compassion for what the Jews considered unclean. Remember our last week's message, the last section of Scripture we looked at was the teaching about what really defiles a man. It's not unclean hands, but it's unclean hearts. You know, that was very to the disciples to learn about that it's not their hands that defile them, but it's their hearts. It's the sins that comes forth from the heart that defiles them. But now Jesus is going to shock His disciples by showing compassion for those very people that the Jews considered unclean. I mean, the Jews did not even have anything to do with these Gentiles. They would not, many of them would not even go to these territories because they did not want to be unclean by mingling among these heathen people. Now, there are basically two reasons why Jesus left Galilee to go to this Gentile region. What He says in verse 21 of Tyre and Zidon. There are basically two reasons. First, I believe Jesus wanted to get away. He wanted to get away and just to rest with His disciples. You know, I think about, if you'll turn to Mark chapter 7, on his commenting or writing on this same story. If you'll look in Mark chapter 7, verse 24, I want you to notice a very important detail that Mark tells us about here. And from thence He arose and He went to the borders of Tyre and Zidon and entered into a house and would have no man know it. But He could not be hid. Now, I want you to notice, would have no man know it. In other words, we see here Jesus wanted to go here to get away. Remember last week that he had been among these multitudes in Galilee, and they were wanting to make him a king. They wanted to force him to be a king. So what he did was he sent his disciples away to go to the other side. And later that night, he came to him upon the sea, walking on the sea. And then when they arrived to the other side, we find that the multitudes eventually found him and they came to him. And that's where he fed the 5,000, or that's after he fed the 5,000, but they came to him. And then we had this passage about defilement and about his unclean hearts. Now, what I want you to notice is that there is a frenzy going on around the ministry of Jesus. I mean, these Pharisees, they were trying so hard to trap him in some way. They were trying to find some way that they could destroy Jesus. I mean, that's what the Bible teaches. Not only that, but these multitudes of people, they were coming at him wanting this free food. They had political reasons. They wanted him to be their king. They wanted to force him to be king. So Jesus just needed a little time to get away. So that's one reason that he went to this area. But I believe that there's a second reason, and this is probably the most important reason, is to teach and prepare his disciples for their future ministry to both Jews and Gentiles. Remember, I've talked about after chapter 13 in Matthew, Jesus began to lead the multitudes for the most part. His ministry, public ministry, now becomes his private ministry with his disciples. Though he will still minister to multitudes of people, his primary ministry right now, in this point until the time of the cross, which is about a year away, is to teach and train his disciples. Jesus, knowing that the cross is coming, he sees how important it is to prepare his disciples for this time, to prepare them for their future ministry to both Jews and Gentiles. And in fact, you're going to see in chapter 16 and 17 in Matthew, you're going to see that he's going to teach them about the cross. I mean, they're not going to understand that concept when he teaches them about he's going to be delivered up. He's going to be crucified. The third day he's going to rise again. I mean, it just does not sink in on their mind. But I believe that the reason he goes here is he wants to teach them and illustrate an important truth of his compassion, not just for the Jews, but his compassion for Gentiles. This is shocking to the Jewish mind. You need to understand that. This is something very, very shocking. You know, remember Paul in the book of Acts, whenever he was brought up before the council and he was speaking to these Jewish people and they were listening to him as he was going through the history of Israel. But when he came to the point where he mentioned the word Gentiles, because the Jews had rejected the gospel, he said, now I'm going to go forth to the Gentiles. At that moment, they rose up in a frenzy and went crazy. We need to understand this concept that Jews, I mean, they hated Gentiles. They saw they were unclean people, but Jesus is going to teach his disciples something while they get away and rest. He's going to show them, he's going to illustrate his compassion for all people. I believe the key verse is verse 32, where he said, I will have compassion. The word compassion means to feel from your gut. You know, that feeling of compassion. He feels our pain. He feels our troubles. And he wants to come alongside of us in our troubles and to alleviate our troubles and deliver us. I want to just say something a little bit about Tyre and Sidon real quick. I want to give you a little history of what's going on here. Tyre is about... Or Sidon is about 50 miles northwest of Capernaum. Remember, he spent most of his Galilean ministry around Capernaum, which is on the western side of the Sea of Galilee. And that was an area he spent a lot of his ministry, his greater Galilean ministry. But now he is ending that ministry. And he is starting to go into his private ministry with his disciples. But he goes into this area about 50 miles away. And Zidon, it's called Seda today. And the Arabic word means fishing. It was there on the coast of the Mediterranean. And here's an interesting thing. If you'll go to Genesis chapter 10. Genesis chapter 10. You know, those of you in Cornerstone class, you're studying Genesis, and maybe you came across this in chapter 10. But look in verse 15. In Genesis 10:15, it says, "And Canaan begot Zidon, his firstborn, and Heth." You know, Zidon was a firstborn son of Canaan. Now, if you'll look in verse 19, "And the border of the Canaanites was from Zidon, as thou comest to Gerar unto Gaza, as thou goest unto Sodom and Gomorrah and Admah and Zeboim, even unto Lasha." So Zidon was the northernmost border of the Canaanites. Now, if you have any time at all in the scripture, you know that the Canaanites were the ancient enemies of Israel. They were a cursed people, cursed by God because of their evil, wicked ways. They were idol worshippers. They were pagans. They were considered to be heathens. And Joshua, when he went into the land, lead the children into the land of Israel, listen, they were to destroy the Canaanites. But they didn't utterly destroy all of them. Had they done their job, this woman wouldn't have been there. But anyway, this is where we find ourselves in our story. This woman of Canaan. That's what it says there in verse 21. This woman of Canaan came out of the same coast. So understand where Jesus is. I want you to get a picture. He is not in Jewish territory. He is in Gentile territory. He's in Canaanite territory. And first of all, let's see his compassion this morning for the heathen. His compassion for the heathen. The heathen, that's a term that we don't use much today, but it means pagans. It means those that do not know the one true and living God. It means those who are typically idol worshipers. You know, today, maybe the modern day heathen would be, it could be an atheist. It could be someone that is unchurched, that doesn't know anything about Jesus. That's the kind of people we're talking about. But Jesus showed compassion for the heathen. You know, as we said, Jesus, he primarily went here to rest, not to minister. But I know that Jesus, being the Son of God, he knew that there was going to be some ministry while he was in this area. These people had heard about his ministry. People from this area had already benefited from his ministry. Look in Matthew chapter 4 in verse number 24. Go back to chapter 4. And I found all this history interesting as I was studying this. But look in verse 24 in Matthew 4. "And his fame went throughout all Syria." So Syria is outside of the Israel. It's in this territory we're talking about here. "And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, those which were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, from Decapolis, from Jerusalem, from Judea, from Jordan." And so people up in these regions, they heard about Jesus. And you know, here's the sad thing. When Jesus went to these areas, these Gentiles had more receptive hearts than the Jews. I mean, we just saw what kind of reception he got by the Pharisees and the scribes. And even the people, if you look at the harmony of the Gospels, and you read John 6, and after feeding of the 5,000, he gave the sermon on the bread of life. And at the end of that, it says many of his disciples, they turned back and followed him no more. That's the kind of reception Jesus got. The Jews were embraced in their traditions. They were proud. But what we're going to find here in this story, this woman, she had faith in Jesus. In fact, Jesus pointed out great faith. You know, I found it interesting the word great is the Greek word megas, where we get the word mega, meaning big, like a mega church or mega something, a mega bomb. She had mega faith. Great mega faith. You know what's interesting? There's only two times that we read in the Gospels where Jesus mentions someone having great mega faith. This woman right here, and back in chapter 8, that centurion soldier, both of them were Gentiles, not Jews. You know, as I said, these Gentiles, they had more receptive hearts. The Jews, they were entangled in the bonds of legalism, tradition. They were very proud. When Jesus came, they were hard toward Him. But here we see these pagans, these heathen, off up in this area, receptive to His ministry. Though Jesus is not fully opening His ministry to these Gentiles, I believe that He is no respecter of persons. He responds to all of those that come to Him in faith. You know, as we look at this woman this morning, this woman, I believe, is a perfect example of a sinner who comes to Jesus by faith. Because as we look at this woman, we're going to see that she is not of the family of Israel. She is not of the covenant of promise of the old covenant given to this nation, Israel. So in other words, she is outside of the covenant of promise. She's an outsider. She is a sinner. She does not have any privilege or any right or any merit. She has nothing which she could come to Jesus, but she comes in simple faith. You know, as we look at this woman coming without right, privilege, or worthiness to embrace Jesus, it ought to help us to see we as sinners, we have to come the same way. We have no right or privilege in the presence of a holy God. We have no right or privilege of salvation. You know, we as Americans, we can be just as proud as these Jews, thinking, you know, we are religious. We, you know, we're going to go to heaven because we're just good people. Well, we need to realize we're more like this woman. We are outsiders. We're unworthy. We're sinners. We have to come the same way this woman came. You know, as we look at great faith, I want to point out three things about great faith. There are three elements of great faith that I see in this story about this woman as He showed compassion on this heathen woman. Number one, great faith hears the Word of God. Great faith hears the Word of God. And if you'll look in Mark again, in chapter 7, verse number 25, in Mark 7:25, it says, "For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of Him and came and fell at His feet." I want to just point out that phrase, heard of Him. Mark points out that this woman came to Jesus because she heard of Him. How? We can only speculate what she heard. But I want to say this, she heard enough of the Word to believe that Jesus was Lord. And to believe that Jesus was the Son of David, which is a messianic title. Because in verse 21 in our text, she came and she said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David." This is truly amazing for a Canaanite woman to make this confession of faith. Even the Jews were not making this kind of confession. They were rejecting Jesus as being Lord. They were rejecting Him as being Messiah. But this Canaanite woman, she believed that Jesus was Lord over those demons that were possessing and vexing her daughter. She actually believed that this man Jesus, he was greater than those demons and his daughter. She had a daughter that had been vexed by these demons, by these devils, and she was brokenhearted as a mother to see her daughter in such a condition. There are a lot of parents in that same condition today, seeing their children in that kind of condition. It may not be demon possession, but it may be addiction to drugs or alcohol or other things. She did the right thing. She brought it to Jesus. She heard the Word of God. She heard about Him. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's where she got her faith. It was through hearing the Word of God. She heard of Him. She heard about Jesus through the preaching that was going on. Great faith, number two, seeks the right object. You know, what do you put your faith in? Let me ask you that. What are you putting your faith in? You know, we can assume or conclude that this woman was utterly unsatisfied with her pagan idols. From where she lived, we can assume that she worshipped some of these idols of that region. The Phoenician goddess Astarte would be one of them. Or maybe some of the other gods that they worshipped up there in the Syro-Phoenician region. They had many gods. She must have prayed and prayed and prayed to these false gods and never got an answer. But then she heard one day about Jesus. She heard about Jesus. And she came to Jesus saying, have mercy. I love it because, you know, she didn't come and say, Lord, you owe this to me. Have mercy. None of us can come and say, Lord, Lord, give me this. We can't come to the Lord and demand anything, Lord. I mean, she was coming begging, have mercy. She understood she was unworthy. She understood that it was only by the mercy of God that she could be saved and her daughter could be delivered. You know, the Lord Jesus became the object of her faith. Verse 25 tells us she came and she fell down at His feet. She worshipped Him. Worshipped Him. Lord, help me. She believed in His power over Satan, over her own gods. She put her faith in the right person. You know, Acts 4:12 says that there neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You have to put your faith in the right person. You know, a lot of people today say, well, I have faith, I believe. Faith in what? Well, I just believe. Believe what? Well, I just have faith. Faith in what? You know, it's almost like this. It's like the man that jumped out of the airplane without a parachute and said, I believe. That's stupid. Yeah. To jump out into the void and say, I believe. Now, if you had a parachute on and you're putting that faith in that parachute, then yeah, you've got a good object to put your faith in. You know, listen, you can't just believe in your belief. You can't just believe in yourself and believe in Jesus. This woman, she was believing in Jesus. She was trusting in His compassion. She was trusting in His mercy. She was believing and trusting that He is Lord. That He is the Son of David. He's the Messiah of Israel. You know, wishful thinking is not faith. Let me ask you, what are you putting your faith in today? Are you putting your faith in Jesus to help you with the problems you're facing today? Jesus said about this woman, she had great faith. Let's look a little closer. Number three, great faith is persistent. It is persistent. You know, I believe that Jesus had already seen a lot of shallow and empty faith back up there in Galilee. And so he wants to test this woman's faith. When we read this passage, a lot of people read it and think, man, the Lord's cold toward this woman. I can assure you that he had compassion. When you read the next two stories, I can assure you of that. God is compassionate. But he wanted to test this woman's faith. He wanted to demonstrate to the disciple some truth about this Gentile woman, this Canaanite woman. So the Lord put up these barriers, which only genuine faith could persist. And you know, I want you to notice how she kept on crying out. After she cried out to the Lord, and it said he answered her not a word. Verse 23. How many times have you prayed and there was nothing but silence? Listen, it's all through the Bible. You can read stories about where people prayed to God and they got nothing but silence. The silence of God. What about Joseph? There when he was sold by his brothers and thrown down into Egypt as a slave and then falsely accused in prison. What about all that time of silence? No doubt he must have been praying. What about Job? When Job was suffering, when he lost his children, he lost his wealth, everything, and he was praying to God and got nothing but silence. What about Jesus? Even when he was on the cross, we know that Jesus was on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Even then, the Lord, the Father, did not answer him. You know, we could go example after example. There are reasons for God being silent sometimes for our prayer. Maybe it's because we have sin in our life. Maybe it's to purify us. Maybe it's to teach us patience or teach us to put faith in him. Maybe it's so he can know what is in our hearts. But in this particular case, I believe that he was testing this woman's faith. And you know what? She persisted. After the Lord didn't answer a word, well, she was following after the disciples and they're telling the Lord, send her away. She crieth after us. This word crieth is in present indicative active, meaning that she was continuously crying after them. She wasn't going to give up. So they're telling the Lord, Lord, please just send her away. She's bugging us to death. And the Lord just answered another obstacle here. I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Did this stop this woman's faith? It says, then came she and worshipped him. How many of you would still worship if the Lord didn't give you an answer? And then if the Lord just says, well, I'm not sent to you, I'm sent to Israel. How many of you would just fall down and worship him? I mean, she was worshiping him. And she's pleading, Lord, please help me. Please help me. You know, you think his next answer, where he says, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. You'd think, oh man, the Lord don't even care about this woman. He doesn't even have compassion, but I want to say, sure he did. Mark happened to say in his account, there's something that's interesting. He said, I'm trying to find it in my notes. There's some passage there. Yes. In Mark's, he talks about, it is chapter 7, verse 27, let the children first be filled. I think that's an important, just that one word, first, because Jesus was saying to this woman that first, and I want you to understand something. When you study the Bible, you see that the Messiah that was sent, he was to be presented first to Israel. Yeah, if you look at the prophets, you see that he came to be a light to the Gentiles. But first, he was to go to the Jews. First, he was to go to Israel. Even Paul in the book of Acts, he went first to the Jew. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. You see, the Gospels go first, and Jesus is just simply telling her, listen, My priority right now is Israel. But she's persistent in her faith. Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. What an amazing answer. I mean, if you had somebody call you a dog, you'd be marching away mad. But this woman, she accepted it. She said, truth. I'm just like a dog, Lord. I'm so unworthy. So unworthy. But Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs. You know, feed the children first, but you know, the crumbs, you know, you have your little dog under the table, you know, they're begging. They're just sitting there looking at you, their tail wagging, pawing you on the leg. You throw down a little bite down there to the dog. Well, this woman, she had great faith because her faith was persistent. She was persistent. You know, when you face a problem and you look to Jesus, let me encourage you, keep asking. Keep praying. Be persistent in your faith until you receive what you need. You know, it's sad. A lot of people come to church and, you know, they start to serve the Lord and then they face trouble in their life or in their family. And when they pray and things don't quickly change, they give up and drop out of church. We should learn something from this woman. She was persistent. Persistent. Her faith was in the right object. Her faith was based on hearing the Word of God. Her faith was persistent. That's what made it such great faith. And we can learn from this woman's example to put our faith in the Lord because He has compassion for the heathen. I mean, He showed compassion here. Her daughter was healed that very hour. We ought to learn from the compassion of our Lord for the heathen. But if you, looking at this story, if you doubt the Lord's compassion for the heathen, I think these next two stories will convince you. Let's look at this second one, compassion for the hopeless. Compassion for the hopeless. In verse 29 through 31, Jesus departed from thence, came nigh to the Sea of Galilee. And again, I have to go to Mark again. Mark 7:31. And in Mark 7:31, Mark pinpoints exactly where he went. He went to the coast of Decapolis. Because when you see Sea of Galilee, you might think, well, maybe he went back to Capernaum. Maybe he went back to this Jewish area where a lot of his friends were. But no, he went on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, over there on the eastern side, which would be part of Syria. And Decapolis, I want to just explain the history of this city so you'll know that this is a Gentile area. Decapolis, Deca meaning 10, polis meaning city. It was 10 city region. It was sandwiched between two territories. The northern territory was under Philip. Remember, we talked about Herod the Great's children. Well, Philip, he ruled up there north of this area. And then south of Decapolis was where Herod Antipas ruled. But right there in the middle is this Decapolis area, and it was inhabited mostly by Greeks. These were Greek city states, and they were governed by the governor of Syria. Remember back in Matthew 4:24, I read it said that they heard about the fame of Jesus in Syria. And they came from where? Decapolis. Those were Gentile areas. These were Greeks, and you're going to see at the end, in verse 31, they glorified the God of who? Israel. These were Gentiles. They were glorifying the God of Israel. So he went into a Gentile area inhabited by Greeks. Remember, this is the area where Legion was. In Mark chapter 5, verse 20, remember that demon-possessed man named Legion? He cast out many devils. They went into those swine. They ran off over the cliff into the sea and drowned. That man wanted to follow Jesus after he was saved from all those demons and he was in his right mind. He was clothed and the Lord tamed him and made him a new creature. But Jesus said, no, you go back home. You tell your friends what great things God had done for you. And it goes on and says he went throughout Decapolis telling about the great things that he had done or that God had done for him. So that's this area we're talking about here. Jesus has compassion for the hopeless. So here he is in Decapolis. And you'll notice that there's a great multitude coming to him. He was up on the side of this mountain. And it said that having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others. And notice this, cast them down at Jesus' feet. He's brought all these hopeless people. Throw them down at Jesus' feet. You know, I want to point out, you know, most of us know what blind is. And most of us know the dumb, probably talking of deaf people. Mark points out a story about the deaf man that he healed. But I want you to see that word maimed. As I began to study this word through the New Testament, the word maimed, it could be either one of their limbs had become withered, or it was not working anymore, like the man with the withered hand. Or it could even be those missing a limb. It could be someone was missing an arm, missing a hand, missing a foot, missing a leg or something. But it says Jesus made him whole. I want you to just picture this. They're watching Jesus, and here's somebody with a maimed arm that's just totally useless, and Jesus healed him. They wondered at this, the Bible says. They wondered when they saw his power. And they saw his compassion on them. And the end result that we see here is that they glorified the God of Israel. Here's Gentiles praising not their gods, but the God of Israel. The one true living God. Oh, Jesus showed compassion for these hopeless people. You know, he not only did miracles among the Jews, but he also cared for the Gentiles. He was teaching his disciples. I want you to understand that when he healed that Canaanite woman's daughter, he was teaching his disciples something. Remember when Peter in Acts chapter 10, the Lord came to him and he saw that vision of that sheet and all these different animals and all these different creatures, including unclean animals. And the Lord said, rise up and eat, Peter. And Peter said, no, I've never eaten anything unclean. And the Lord said, well, what the Lord's called clean, don't consider unclean. And so he did this three times. And later these Gentiles came and wanted him to come to Cornelius' house. And the Lord told him, said, listen, see, Gentiles were unclean to them. He wanted him to go there and preach the gospel to him. And remember later these Jewish believers, they were, Peter, what are you doing? You went into the house of these Gentiles to eat. But when he began to relate to them, he said, you know what? The Lord gave to them the Holy Spirit, even as us, when we believed. See, that's going to come later on. But the Lord is preparing them for that. The Lord is teaching them about his compassion for these hopeless Gentiles. The third story, compassion for the hungry. Compassion for the hungry. After spending 3 days on the mountain with these people. 3 days. Because I want you to notice what the Lord said. In verse 32, he told his disciples, I will have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. You know, Jesus said, I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint away. Remember, I pointed out that the feeding of the 5,000 in chapter 14 was to Jewish people. He was feeding Jews. At the end of his ministry down there in Galilee, he fed these Jewish people. But now he is ministering to Gentiles. And he's feeding Gentiles. And I believe one of the points that Jesus is trying to teach his disciples is this. I am not only the bread of life to the Jews. I am the bread of life to the whole world. Right. You know, they all did eat. Verse 37, they were all filled. The Lord filled their hunger, satisfied them. You know, the first feeding, I'm not going to go into a lot of this because we already talked about the story, the illustrations out of the feeding, but I want to just focus on the differences, not just Jew and Gentile, but the taking up of 12 baskets in chapter 14. And here it says they took up 7 baskets full. I got studying the word baskets in these two passages. And the one in Matthew 14, the basket, it spoke of a little basket that the Jews would carry their lunches in. It was the word kopanos. It's the Greek word. But this particular passage, he does not use that word. He's not talking about the Jewish baskets that the Jews would carry, but he's talking about the Gentiles' basket. And this was more like a hamper. It was a big, large basket, and it was called spurdes. And it was this particular basket that was used in Acts chapter 9 when they let down Paul on the wall of Damascus to escape at night. It was this kind of basket that Paul... So it was big enough for a man to fit in. 7 baskets full. We're not talking about little lunch baskets. We're talking about big baskets full of meat. You know, there's a Jewish scholar named Alfred Eldersheim. He pointed out that the Lord ended each phase of His ministry with a feeding. He ended His ministry in Galilee feeding 5,000 plus Jews. He ended His ministry at the Gentiles with feeding of 4,000 plus Gentiles. And then he said he ends His Judean ministry before His death on the cross with the feeding of the 12 in the upper room. The Lord wants to feed His people. He doesn't want us to be hungry, and not just physically, but more importantly, spiritually. He is the bread of life. What can you learn from these stories this morning? You can learn something about our Lord's compassion. He has great compassion. Compassion for the heathen, those that are not church people, those that are not believers, those that are out there in the world that are unchurched people, the people that, you know, we would not normally associate with. The Lord has compassion on them. You know, the Lord wants us to go out there and reach them. You know, we're not to evangelize church people. We're to evangelize the lost. We're so compassionate. You know, you read through the Bible and you see a lot of times where it points out our Lord's compassion. Matthew 9, remember when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, for He saw them as sheep having no shepherd. I wonder if we have compassion for the heathen. You know, I want to challenge you to, if you're not coming Wednesday night, come and hear our study on Philippians. We just started Wednesday night about advancing the gospel. We're going to be talking about how to evangelize, how to send out the gospel. But it has to begin with compassion. Compassion for the lost. When you experience the Lord's compassion, it will empower you. It will give you a burden for those that are lost. You know, I think about that woman in Luke 7 where she came and washed His feet with her tears and wiped His feet with the hair of her head. And she was a sinner, and that Pharisee was thinking in his mind, you know, why would Jesus allow this sinful woman to do such a thing? If He really is Lord, I mean, surely He wouldn't let this happen. But the Lord could read his mind, and the Lord told him, listen, Simon, you know, ever since I came to your house, you've not kissed me. You didn't give me the traditional cultural kiss of welcome into your house, but this woman has not ceased kissing my feet. You didn't anoint my head with oil. That was a traditional cultural thing to do. That was a way to show hospitality. But she said, this woman has anointed my feet with her tears. In other words, he's telling that Simon the Pharisee, you've shown no love for me. But this woman, because much has been forgiven her, she loves much. He said, to whom little is forgiven, loveth little. See, the more we're forgiven, the more we understand the compassion of Jesus. And you see these Gentiles, you know, it goes from the Jews to the Gentiles, the gospel spread. And for all these years, the gospel's been going out and around the world because these Gentiles, like you and I, have experienced the compassion of the Lord. Think about the hopeless today. There's so many hopeless people today, not just health-wise, but, you know, emotionally. People just feel hopeless. They don't have any hope about their future. They don't know why they're here. Their life seems pointless. People that are addicted in drugs or sinful, destructive lifestyles, and they just feel totally hopeless. They don't feel any way out of it. The Lord has compassion for you. You know, we ought to have compassion for those same kind of people. You know, it seems like a lot of times troubled people like that, we avoid them. We don't want to get our hands dirty. We don't want to interact with them. But you know, our Lord did. He healed them all. He had compassion on these hopeless people. And then these hungry people, He had compassion. Listen, there's a lot of hungry people today, spiritually hungry. People that are longing for something. There's something missing in their life. They're hungry spiritually. They're faint over all their troubles. Listen, we have the bread of life to offer to them. Jesus is the bread of life. Came down from heaven to give His life for them. And He said, if you would come to Him, you'll never hunger. If you believe on Him, you'll never thirst. Are you hungry today? Do you have a need today? Are you faint today? Well, listen to what Jesus said about these people. He said, I will not send them away faint. I will not send them away hungry. Fasting. The Lord don't want you to leave here. He don't want to send you away from this service. Fasting. Fainting. Hungry. Just like He filled these people, He wants to fill you today with His love and compassion, with His salvation. But you have to come just like this woman did in faith, believing, trusting, pleading, begging for His mercy. I want you to stand with me as we go to our Lord in prayer and prepare our hearts for this time of invitation, a time for us to respond to the Lord's message to us in His Word today. Father, we're grateful that Your compassions, they fail not. Your mercies, they're new every morning. God, I know there's people here today with burdens, with needs. Lord, I pray that they would come and lay them at the feet of Jesus. They would come and rest on Your compassion, pleading for deliverance from whatever trouble that is troubling their hearts. Lord, it may be that there's someone here that's never tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And never put their trust in Jesus for salvation. Their hungry soul, Lord, I know You want to fill. Lord, may they come today in simple, childlike faith, trusting in Jesus, resting in Him, who has compassion, who wants to fill them with salvation, with love, compassion. Lord, I pray that you would help us as your people. Lord, our church, we are your body. That may we represent you in this world and show your compassion. Lord, that we would reach out to those who are without God, without hope. People that are hungry. People that are longing for something. Something that's real. Something that's life-changing. Lord, we as your church, we have our responsibility to show your compassion. Lord, may we be empowered by your compassion that you showed us. In our time of need, when we cried out to you for salvation, when our time of need, when we were troubled and our life was in shambles, and you answered and you delivered us from all of our troubles. Lord, may we realize other people can experience that same compassion if we would just reach out to them with your compassion. God, forgive us, Lord, for not showing compassion on the hopeless, the heathen, the hungry. Lord, forgive us for avoiding those troubled kind of people. Lord, help us to go beyond our comfort zone this week to reach out to somebody with the gospel of Jesus. I pray this through the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Kurt.